जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी, जय गोपी जन बल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, जय गोपी जन बल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोदनंदन जनरंजन, यशोदनंदन ब्रजनरंजन, यमुना तीरावनचारिया, यमुना तीरावनचारिया, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, तयोरितं भगवति कृष्णनंदा यशोदयो भिक्षानुरागं परमं नंदं अहो धावो मुदा, तयोरितं भगवति कृष्णनंदा यशोदयो भिक्षानुरागं परमं नंदमहोद्धवो मुदा, तयोरितं भगवति कृष्णनंदा यशोदयो भिक्षानुरागं परमं नंदमहोद्धवो मुदा। तयोरितं भगवति कृष्णनंदा यशोदयो भिक्षानुरागं परमं Nanda Mahodhavo Muda. Ladies? No? Okay. Tayo, of the two of them, itam, like this, Bhagavati, for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishne, Lord Krishna, Nanda Yashodayo, of Nanda and Yashoda, Bhikshya, clearly seeing, Anuragam, the loving attraction, Paramam, Supreme, Nandam, Tunanda, Aha, spoke, Uddhava, Uddhava, Muda, with joy. Uddhava then joyfully addressed Nanda Maharaj, having clearly seen the supreme loving attraction he and Yashoda felt for Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If Uddhava had seen Nanda and Yashoda actually suffering, he would not have reacted with joy. But in fact, all emotions on the spiritual platform are transcendental bliss. The so-called anguish of the pure devotees is another form of loving ecstasy. This was clearly seen by Uddhava, and thus he spoke as follows. Shri Uddhava Uvacha Yuvam Shlagyatam Aumununam Dehinam Ihamanada Narayane Kilagurau Yatkrita Matiridrishi. Shri Uddhava said, O respectful Nanda, certainly you and Mother Yashoda are the most praiseworthy persons in the entire world. Since you have developed such a loving attitude toward Lord Narayan, the spiritual master of all living beings. Purport. Understanding Nanda's mood, as expressed by his statement, Manye Krishnam Charamam Chapraptau Iha Surottamau, I think Krishna and Rama must be two exalted demigods. Krishna, Uddhava here referred to Krishna as Lord Narayan. Umagyanati mirandasya gyananjana salakaya chakshurum militam yinatasma shi gurave namaha. Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langayate girim yatkripatamaham bande shi gurum dinataranam. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shadvaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrind. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So seeing the supreme loving attraction then that Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda asked for Krishna, Uddhava was joyfully addressing them. That's a natural symptom of pure devotee. He appreciates the other devotees who are lovingly serving Krishna. He's happy to see them happy. By remembering Krishna. It looks like suffering to us, you know, but it's another type of ecstasy. Like we spoke in the last few days, that we should not misunderstand that the greatest suffering, once Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Ramananda Roy, what is the greatest suffering in this world? And he said, to feel separation from a Vaishnava, from a devotee of the Lord. So of course, Krishna and his pure devotee is always related. You can't separate one from the other. It's not possible. Krishna explained in the Bhagavatam that I'm living in the heart of my devotees and my devotees living in my heart. So that connection is eternal, it's there. Even while in the material world, devotees remain attached to Krishna, feeling his separation. Uddhava himself, he also, when Krishna left the material world to the spiritual world, Uddhava was sent on a mission. And in that mission, he met, while going there to the Himalayas, he met Vidura. He met Vidura. And Vidura asked him for guidance, for instruction. But Vidura sent him to Maitreya Rishi. He's nearer, he's elder than me, so better you go to him. When both met, they felt so much ecstasy, and embracing each other and crying out for Krishna. So that's the meaning of association of devotees, that we remind each other of Krishna and his loving service. So now Uddhava was trying to explain to Nanda Maharaj that actually his son was Narayan himself. He was praising him that certainly you and Mother Yashoda are the most praiseworthy person in the entire world, since you have developed such a loving attitude toward Lord Narayan, the spiritual master of all living beings. Narayan is in the heart of every living entity as Paramatma. So he's Chaita Guru, he's the guru of everyone, internal guru. From him come remembrance, forgetfulness, and knowledge. Due to our material desires, we have forgotten Krishna and our relationship, eternal loving relationship with him. But in this human form of life, we can awaken our loving service to the Lord by keeping good company, good association. Prabhupada said 90% of the advancement in Krishna consciousness depends on good association and avoiding bad association. If we keep the company of thieves, you end up stealing. If you keep the companies of drunkards, you will end up being a drunk. So it's very important to avoid bad company and to keep the good company. That's the first thing in the spiritual life. First thing. Then in the association of devotee, one has the opportunity to hear, chant, and remember about God, Krishna. And that way, one's mind and heart start become purified. One start to understand, I am not this body, I'm eternal soul, I am part of Krishna, I'm his eternal servant. Some or other, I came to this material world due to misuse of my free will. But now I can remember Krishna and go back to him. In the 11th canto, it is explained that even at the time of death, if devotee who has dedicated all his life to Krishna's service may not remember Krishna at that moment, Krishna will appear in his mind and remind him of him. That's Krishna's special mercy. So we have to always endeavor to advance in Krishna consciousness. I mean, materialistic people, for them the most important thing is money. That's why they're saying money is like honey. Because through money they get all the material things they want to enjoy. So for them that's the via medium to achieve what they want. But, I mean, the whole world is after economic development. You see, I mean, all the countries, the measure of their success is in relation to how economically they are developed, isn't it? Because through economic development, they can satisfy all their material desires for living comfortably and getting all the material things they want. But are people happy even after achieving all these things? You see, here in America, it's a very developed country economically, and people are nice looking and they have a lot of commodities and facilities to enjoy the material life. But are they really happy and satisfied? No, there's always an anxiety, stress. This problem, that problem. Always some kind of problems. And the most disturbing problems are old age, disease, and death. Nobody wants to get old. Nobody wants to get sick or die. So that means we are suffering because we have a material body. And if you want to stop the suffering once and for forever, then we have to try to get a spiritual body. Next life. Spiritual body is already there. The soul has a spiritual body, but it's covered by the material body. So the process is cleansing the heart and the mind from dirty things. So the natural love and affection and attraction for Krishna will awaken, reawaken in the soul. So the more we hear about Krishna and his wonderful pastimes, actually, Krishna's pastimes are the most confidential part of our philosophy. We don't say it to every newcomer immediately, no. It takes a little time to explain. First we speak the basic philosophy. Then after some time they develop a little faith in Krishna. Then we can talk about Krishna's activities, because that's the most confidential part. That God is not only a person, but has activities. Once Narad Muni, the great sage, was going to see the Lord in Vaikuntha. And he went to see, on the way, a Brahmana. And the Brahmana asked him, can you please ask the Lord how many more births I have to wait until I get liberated, until I go back to Vaikuntha. All right, he said. He went to see a cobbler, and the cobbler offered obeisances. Oh, great sage, I'm so blessed by your presence. Please, if you see the Lord, please ask him how many lives do I have until I go back to him and serve him. So, all right, said Narad Muni. He went to see the Lord and he asked him about these two devotees. So the Lord said, tell the Brahmana, after 100 births, he may come back to me. And tell the cobbler that in this very life, he will come to me. So Narad Muni was surprised. How is it possible? The Brahman has, more purity, more, no, more cleanliness than the cobbler. How is that? You will know. If they ask you what I was doing when you met me, you tell them that I was passing an elephant through a needle and see how they react, then you will know why. So he went to see the Brahmana. Brahmana, oh, did you see the Lord? Yes. What he was doing? Oh, he was passing an elephant through a needle. Ah, come on, that's a joke or what? We all know that it's not possible for an elephant to pass through a needle. Okay, enough of that thing. Now tell me the most important thing. What the Lord said about my liberation? Well, the Lord said you have to wait 100 more births to be liberated. Oh, how is that possible? I'm such a pure Brahmana. Maybe that's a mistake or something. Okay. So Narada Muni left. He went to see the cobbler. And the cobbler, oh, you just came to see from seeing the Lord what he was doing. Oh, he was passing an elephant through a needle. Oh, my Lord is so wonderful, so amazing. Do you believe it is true? Yes, of course. But how is that possible? So, I mean, if my Lord, from a banyan tree, a huge banyan tree come from a seed, and each banyan tree has so many seeds, and from each seed comes so many other banyan huge trees. So if the Lord can make from a small seed this huge tree come out, what is the difficulty for him to pass an elephant through a needle? So he wasn't just sentimental, believing blindly, but he had philosophy, he had common sense, argument, logic. The Lord can do everything and everything. Lord Jesus said that it's more difficult to pass a camel through a needle than for a rich man to go to heaven. Because usually very rich people are more attached to the material gratification. When they are very rich, they use the money for enjoying the senses more than other people. Wine and women, mainly, they go after that. I met one devotee in South America. He's a famous singer there. And he had contact with many politicians. And he told me all of them are drunkard and women hunter. All of them. As soon as they get a little money, they become corrupted. They start to cheat, to steal the money from the people. And they after all these things, nothing else. So, because people, they don't have God consciousness, Krishna consciousness, then they all become like very fallen, very, they're not interested in the spiritual life. And if they are becoming interested, then they follow some cheater. I just hear that the president of Venezuela, he is a worshipper of Sai Baba. He has even photos with him, and he already passed away, but but he's a cheat. He was a cheat. Making people believe that he is God or an avatar of God. He couldn't prevent his own death or becoming old or sick. He was in the hospital suffering before he died. How he is God? People are so little intelligence. They don't know what is God. So any cheater who has a little trick with a little mystic power make appear some little gold. Prabhupada say, what is the proof he's God? Oh, he make appear some little gold. Then the jewelry shop is more rich, more God than him. He has more gold than him. If he's God, why he needs an incense factory? People have no common sense. No common sense. That's why they are easily cheated, because they want something magical. They don't want the reality. So, the only reason Lord Jesus showed some miracles, because people were so materialistic, the only way for them to believe that he is sent by God is to show that he has some powers. Otherwise, they will not believe. So that's why miracles are for less intelligent people. That's the truth. So because once a reporter asked Prabhupada, Jesus met so many miracles, what miracles have you done? And Prabhupada showed his disciples, he said, here is my miracle. Before they were addicted to meat eating, intoxication, gambling, illicit sex, and they gave up all these things to serve God. Don't you think it is a miracle? And the journalists say, yes, that's a real miracle to give up these things. For people to give up these things in the Western country is very difficult. Very difficult. One of Prabhupada's godbrother was preaching in England in the 1930. And one lord approached him, can you make me a Brahmana? Of course. Are you ready to follow these four regulative principles? No meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex. The Lord said, impossible. So, what Prabhupada did was an actual miracle. No doubt. So, Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda thought that their sons, Krishna and Balaram, no material calculation. Whatever he may be, we just love him. That means a spontaneous love. There is no reason, material reason for that love. Generally, people worship God because they want something in exchange. See, in most religion, people go worship God because they want something in exchange. Health, money, land, offspring, a lot of sons, a lot of rich. Everywhere, Hindu, Christian, Muslim, Jew, everywhere. They worship God with some material motive, And they are considered pious people because they are approaching God. But that is not considered pure love or pure devotion, because it's materially motivated. Pure love and pure devotion is without any ulterior motive, no ulterior motive, just to please the Lord, just to want to love and serve Him without any material reward. The only reward they want is more love and more service. That's pure devotion, pure bhakti. So both Uddhava and Nanda Yashoda, they are eternal associates of the Lord. They have pure devotion in their heart, and they're showing it by these loving exchanges they're having with each other. And we're reminding each other about Krishna. And as soon as they met, Nanda Maharaj started to talk about Krishna's beautiful pastimes, his heroic activities. And he was immersed in an ocean of bliss, just remembering Krishna and talking about him. So Uddhava became joyful by hearing about Krishna. The devotee becomes happy when he hears about Krishna. Why? Because one develops some attraction toward Krishna just by hearing about him. That's the beauty of Krishna consciousness. Just by hearing, one starts develop attraction. One wants to go back to Krishna. Prabhupada once said, take very seriously this Krishna consciousness movement, because if we do, in this very life, we can see Krishna, dance with him, eat with him, talk to him. So we have to take it seriously, the process, the practice. Always alert not to deviate. Krishna consciousness is like a razor. You can shave yourself, be completely clean, or you can, if you become a little distracted, you can cut yourself and bleed. So we have to be careful, always attentive, checking on the mind, not to allow the mind to divert. Meaning, we shall never be neglectful about neglecting the mind. The mind has to be neglected. The same way Krishna said in Bhagavad Gita, the same way many rivers go to the ocean, but the ocean never overflow. The same way, although many thoughts may come to the mind, one remains peaceful because one is not interested in any of this mental speculation of the mind. That you will be happy if you do this or achieve this or get this or that. No. You do your material duties, but you know the goal is Krishna. And you use all everything in Krishna's service. We are not against money. We like money. But for Krishna's service. Once they showed Prabhupada a picture, one yogi rejecting money. He was offered money and he was rejecting in the newspaper. And Prabhupada said, you can take a picture of me grabbing a lot of money for Krishna's service, to serve the Lord. We can make temple, we print many books glorifying the Lord, we distribute a lot of Krishna prasad. We can use it in Krishna's service. We don't reject material things, we just give them a better use in the loving service of the Lord. But if we are not careful, we may think, I am the owner, I am the enjoyer. That's material consciousness. So thank you for coming and hearing. Any questions or comments? Yes. There is no mic? Yeah, we should put the battery on this mic. We have listeners through the internet. So tell the question, I will repeat it here in the mic. Good association. Yes. Yes.
Devotional service. So how do you come up that stage from to what were you doing now?
Can you try to to express it in fewer words, the question?
My question is, you said transcendental devotional service.
Yes.
So on that point, my question is, what are we doing more at schedule, like round chanting 16 round and what other things doing, but it's really transcendental devotional service?
Of course it is. We are in the process of practice. That's called sadhana bhakti. That means accepting rules, regulation. No? Following the four rules, chanting 16 round, come to the temple, take part in the morning program. Hear Srimad Bhagavatam, associate with devotees. That's part of the sadhana bhakti or devotional service in practice. But we should always remember that we should have a goal in the practice. What is the goal in practice in Krishna consciousness? The goal is to achieve Krishna prema, prema pumarto mahan, develop attraction and love and faith and increase it day by day just by hearing and remembering Krishna. So the practice comes first, the goal comes later. So we are ready on the road to the goal. The important thing is to keep on track. Don't get out of the road. Don't deviate. Keep there. And being patient, enthusiastic, and endeavoring with confidence. Yes, it can be done. Prabhupada said devotional service is a slow process. It's not overnight process. Sometimes we are little restless. We want things immediately. We lack patience. So we have to have a lot of patience to be able to maintain the principles and never deviate. Not become desperate because we don't have immediate result of the highest transcendental service. That's the goal. But it will come. It will come. If we stick without deviation to our principles, then one day will come, for sure. There is no doubt about it. Just be patient. So the other day, anybody has any other question? Pass the mic, please. Is it okay? Yes. Yeah, it's on. Put it more.
I heard, and you were also expressing it just now,
Yes. 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 Right. Well, that leads us to understand that we have to be more careful, more attentive. And also, if the devotee is sincere, failure can be, what is said? Failure is the pillar of success. So if somebody is sincere and made mistake and fail, that is not the end of it. If one is sincere, will stand up again and walk the talk, keep going, never give up. You fail a few times, okay, learn your, we shall learn our lesson and go on. Don't give it up. The most dangerous thing in a spiritual life is to become discouraged and give up. That's the greatest danger. Krishna wants to see us endeavoring, trying to become better. Doesn't matter, a child trying to walk, learning how to walk, it's natural at the beginning he may fall. But the duty of the parents to encourage, oh, try it again, you will be able to make it, yes. And trying, the child start to run without falling. He become expert. So in the same way, spiritual life is like that. We have to learn from our mistakes. We have to keep endeavoring. We have to keep attention to our daily practical life. Always try to remember Krishna and never to forget him. That's the main reason we follow all these rules and regulations. So don't be discouraged if there is some problems, some difficulty. That's part of the material life. Problem must be there to remind us that we made a bad choice by coming to the material world. So we should be grateful that there are problems in the material world. So we can become pessimistic about the material life. The more we become pessimistic about materialistic life, the more we advance in spiritual life.
Arrivo. Thank you for the wonderful class. I was just curious when in the class because that example of the banyan tree.
Yes.
One banyan tree, you know, it's a miracle and it creates the seeds. It creates so many banyan trees, it creates so many seeds and so many more like that.
Yes. Yeah. Right. That's true. For example, Prabhupada went only once to Russia and he made one disciple there, one Russian disciple, and he preached to so many other people and they preached to many other people, and now we have thousands of devotees in Russia. Hundreds and thousands of devotees. So, and all the credit goes to Prabhupada, who went there one time. So, yes. Yes, Mishra Bhagavan.
Sometimes we've heard that devotees should, Vaishnavas should be happy to see another devotee.
Yes.
But we know that not all the devotees are really happy to see another. Sometimes one devotee sees another devotee and he goes across the other side of the street hoping to avoid the person. Are the devotees still special, though? They still have a connection with one another, even if they don't like each other?
That's material conception. Prabhupada said even disagreement between devotees about how to serve Krishna is not material disagreement, it's spiritual. Otherwise, why devotees should have disagreement? Even in the material world, Prabhupada said there's envy and competition, jealousy. And he quote the story between Prithu Maharaj and Indra. They had a fight because Indra stole a horse from Prithu Maharaj's yagya, sacrifice. But at the end, they made peace because both were devotees. Lord Vishnu intervened and, you know, they clarified their misunderstanding. Indra apologized for his misbehavior. The devotee accepted his apology and forgave him. So everything at the end, when devotees are involved, because devotees are supposed to be honest, if they do some mistake, they should ask forgiveness. And the other devotees should forgive, because that's the nature of devotees, to be forgiving, not to keep grudge against each other. I mean, I don't need, we are not sweet rice to be liked by everyone. But still, respect between devotees should be there. I don't need to associate intimately with everyone and each and every one, but should have a respectful attitude toward any devotee. Even Prabhupada explained in Upadishamrita, even devotees who misbehave, who don't follow the principles but chant the holy name, we should mentally respect them but keep some distance from them. But still we respect them because they chant the holy name. See? So we never should be hateful or like that. We should. That's not Vaishnava mentality. Lord Jesus taught you should love your enemies, because if you only love your friends, what is the difference between you and the Pharisees, the materialistic people? They also love their friends and hate their enemies. No, you should love even your enemies. At one means you love your enemies. You pray for them. Oh, Krishna, help them give up this inimical attitude and give up their hatred and envy. So devotee should not keep grudge against another devotee. Once a devotee went to Prabhupada to complain that this devotee did this bad thing to me and he spoke badly about me and this and that. And Prabhupada told him, don't be angry at the instrument of your karma. Somebody may be being used for it. But he's responsible, he has to pay a reaction for it, for sure. But we should remember the philosophy that it's my karma coming back to me. I did something wrong, now this person is being used as instrument. I should not be angry at the instrument, but I am at our own misbehavior that brought me this bad karma. All right. Any other comment, questions? Very good. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.